Let me go ahead with our keynote speaker first. So who is our keynote speaker? Any idea? Let me introduce. Our keynote speaker is someone who is a life certified life coach who helping people master the emotions. Yes, one of the most important content. Supporting professionals to become effective life coaches from scratch itself. Today, he will deliver a keynote on Master Your Emotions, a mini masterclass. I hope you already got who is our keynote speaker. I would like to invite Dipanshu Rawal on the stage and let's have a big round of applause. You can just unmute yourself and then give a big round of applause to him. Dipanshu Rawal,
thank you so much.
Welcome you. Please go ahead and the stage is yours.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this warm welcome. And I really love that sound of claps. So let's begin this topic with one really basic, simple questions. I'm going to do it MCQ ways. And so put it in the chat box. What do you think? What are emotions? A, friends. B, enemies. A, friends. B, enemies. C, nothing special.
I actually have a question. How long will be the keynote speech so that I can note the time? I have the rule of timer.
I'm being informed it's 25 minutes or something. Okay. Is that so?
Only the organizers can tell.
Yes, yes. Well, we have informed, said it's 25 minutes to 30 minutes. So shall we go ahead?
Yes, yes. I will start the time.
Amazing. So I'm looking for the answers in the chat box. What do you think? What are emotions? Number like A, friends. B, enemies. C, nothing special. Okay. Amazing. I love the energy with which you're typing in. Thank you so much for doing that. It shows that you are engaged. So the answer, the right answer to this question is, this will depend on who you are and what philosophies you follow. So if you ask a Buddhist, somebody who practices religion, or even me as a coach who specializes in emotions, I'm going to tell this like nothing special. If you are someone who is coming from a background who has had issues with emotions, maybe you need to make them your friends first before you neutralize their impact. Okay. By definition, emotions are just feedback of your brain to your body. Like somebody came to you in public, they slapped you. You're going to feel embarrassed. You're going to be angry. Maybe you'll cry. Maybe you feel frustrated, irritated. So all these emotions are just messengers of what's happening around you. Everybody clapped. I felt really good. I smiled. That's just an emotion of what is happening in the world around me. Right? So the secret recipe that I've developed working with hundreds and hundreds of people in the last 2 years on managing your emotions well, mastering your emotions, not just managing, actually mastering your emotions. So this is my emotional wellness triangle, and it has three sides, something to do on a daily basis, something to do on a weekly basis, something to do on a monthly basis. Ready to move forward? So type in EWT, emotional wellness triangle. And for anyone, maybe if your emotional wealth, emotional quotient, emotional health right now is 5/10, 9/10, 2/10. I worked with all these clients. No matter where you are in your journey around your emotions, this EWT, emotional wellness triangle, is the recipe to master your emotions. And we're going to dive right into a mini masterclass around it. Okay. So first of all, I'm going to ask, what do you think? What are the daily things you can do to master your emotions? Because I know that you know what you need to do. So we're going to start with that. Type it in the chat box. What do you think you can do? Something small, maybe for a few minutes a day, not 1 hour a day, but a few minutes a day. Exercise, amazing. What else? What can you do every single day to improve your emotions? Read something relevant. Yes. What else? Meditate, journaling. Amazing. What else? Keep them coming. So if somebody has put up meditation, maybe try something new, putting it in the chat box. Journaling, meditation, understanding yourself. Okay. What else? Something really small, maybe take a few minutes, or something that you're already doing, but maybe you'd want to do something a little differently. Talk to someone, not thinking more. Okay. How would you not think more? What else? Keep them coming. Be a little creative. What else do you think you can be doing? Because what you need to do daily is habits, right? What kind of habits can you make? A few minutes a day, 2 minutes, 3 minutes a day, that can exponentially improve your emotional health. Positive self-talk. Amazing. Yes. Seeking discomfort every day. Amazing. One thing that I believe that hasn't been mentioned yet, that I am a big, big, big advocate of, is creating space. Creating space for yourself, for meditation, for, I don't know, cooking, for exercise, for maybe a night routine, but creating some space. Because what happens is we are living on an autopilot moment. We are living in an autopilot mode. And we need to create some space to change things consciously. Right? So there are different levels of consciousness. Level one is life is happening to me. This person is doing this to me. My teacher is doing this to me. My partner is doing this to me. My parents are doing this to me. That's the level one. Everything is happening to me. Level two is everything is happening by me. I'm the creator of this world. I'm making this happen. This life is happening by me. And then the third level of consciousness is life is happening through me, with me. That the universe, God, power, source, highest self, they are creating this life through me and with me. I'm in simultaneous partnership in this world, creating my reality in maybe a 51-49 relationship. Right? Coming back to the point. So that's the daily habits. I know you got it covered. Right? And then again, maybe something, a question that you'd want to ask yourself is, what do I know about this that I could be doing, but I'm not doing at the moment? What is something around emotional wellness that I know if I do this 2 minute thing every day, like positive self-talk, going to the mirror and telling yourself that, you know what, Dipanshu, you're going to rock this talk today. You're going to make things change for people in this 25 minute conversation. If it is only going to take 1 minute or 2 minutes, and you know that it can help you and it will take so much less of investment and you're not still doing it, maybe that's something to reflect upon. And that brings us to the weekly part of Emotional Wellness Triangle. What do you do on a weekly basis? Okay. I had this conversation with Karma Yeshe Rabge. He's a Tibetan Buddhist monk 1.5 years ago. And I asked him, like, tell me something, you know, like one exercise, that one habit or something that can really change me inside out. And his answer was, and I've seen him covering that topic over and over again in his social media and his speeches and everywhere. Before we go there, first of all, who among us know the 10,000 rule, the 10,000 hours rule, which basically says that you have to invest 10,000 hours to master a field? Say yes in the chat box. So I know how much people are aware about this 10,000 hours rule. Easily put, it conveys that you have to invest 10,000 hours of experience to master a field. Sachin Tendulkar, be it sports, be it acting, Shah Rukh Khan or anybody you see who are master at their fields, they have invested 10,000 hours doing an experience around it. But we also see people who have invested 20, 30,000 hours of work in it and they still are not master of it. Have you seen people around them like who are doing the same thing for the last 20, 30, 40 years and you still feel that they are not really great? And so that monk, he described to me that the gap, the difference in these two people who invest a lot and become masters and those who have invested but they don't become masters is the reflection and contemplation part. How well do you reflect on your practice, on your experience? So the weekly part is doing a simple reflection activity, asking yourself three questions. What went well this week? What didn't go well this week? What will I change or what's my plan for the next week? So whenever somebody works in my coaching program, this is kind of one activity that's like prerequisite from them that they send me a weekly reflection every Sunday. Just 2 points in each of those three questions. What went well this week? What didn't go well this week? What's my plan for the next week? And the thing about simple activities, a lot of time is that they seem too simple or too good to be true when you're just starting out. But when you follow them for a week, for 2 weeks, for 1 month, you see tremendous exponential change. I remember the first time, so I met him in September last year. And in October, I went back to my hometown. After 5 years, I was living with my parents, with my family. And I remember writing in that my journal, because I started doing daily reflection. What did I do well today? What didn't go well today? And what will I change tomorrow? And I remember writing on, like, I think it was 5th October. I wrote that I didn't behave well with my sister. She has a younger sister and I just didn't behave well with her. Next day, I wrote the same thing. I didn't behave well with my sister. Guess what happened the third day? I was so conscious that, you know what, today I'm not going to repeat this again. I behaved well with her. That's not a Nobel Prize worthy activity, but just that this little tiny 3-4 minute activity can change so many things from within. You don't have to write 3 pages to reflect. It could be 3 pointers to all the 3 questions. Okay. And my favorite, then what comes in a monthly part of the AWT is educating yourself through seminars, through having coaching once or twice a month, or even using some books or courses. So something to do on a daily basis, something to do on a weekly basis, and something to do on a monthly basis. And what kind of things will you get, you know, can you educate yourself around? Did somebody say something? Okay. So what are the kind of things that you can educate yourself around? And this is one of those things. You're attending a masterclass, right? So I'm going to give you those values. Say yes if you're ready to move forward. Amazing. Now we're going to cover 2 topics in the education part. Number one is the 90-second rule. And number two is there are only 2 types of emotions. Okay. So the 90-second rule, it comes from Dr. Jill Bowie Taylor, and she wrote in her book that, again, scientifically proven that an emotion neurobiologically only starts and remains in your body for 90 seconds. Like something happened and there's going to be some neurochemical reaction in my body, right? From the origin of that reaction to the termination or end of that reaction, it only takes 90 seconds. Anything longer than that, you are the reason you're holding on to it. Okay. And I usually talk about this in terms of, consider that your emotions are little kids playing in the park. Okay. So you're an adult, you're standing at the gate of the park. They will come and they will hug you because they are kids. They want attention. So there are three things you could do. Number one, you could hug them back and let them go play again. Number two is you really, really love their hug and you continue holding them for longer. Number three thing is you just don't want to be bothered. So you want to ignore and avoid them. And when we avoid or ignore something that seeks our attention, ends up getting the attention eventually. So if you're trying to avoid some emotion for a longer time, like sadness, guilt, shame, grief, it's eventually going to creep in some way or the other. Your kid will get the attention they need, right? If you like that emotion, you're going to continue holding it for long. That's how we know why a lot of people feel so troubled moving on from a difficult relationship, because they like the feeling of being there, or feeling of I'm not getting the word, like they knew what was there, right? And then again, the healthiest way is to embrace what's happening and let it go. Are you guys with me? Right? So meanwhile, I want you to take a pause and reflect on how whatever we are talking relates to you. You could be listening to agree or disagree, or you could be just listening to how can I relate this to myself? How can I learn something from here? Right? Now, the second part of the equation, that there are only two kinds of emotions, and you'll see everything else is just a derivative of these two. So this is love and this is fear. There is growth based or it is fear based. We have the same brain of a caveman for centuries and centuries. So they didn't have a lot to do. Like, they would only want to hunt and to survive and to grow and to reproduce. So you will see our primary by default instincts relate a lot to cavemen. Okay. That anything happens, we become afraid, become fearful. That's our default response. We want to take care or feel protected, feel secured and safe. Right? So all the emotions that are like, let's say, grief, depression, or sadness, anger, frustration, all those emotions are fear-based emotions, right? And all the love, all the compassion, joy, happiness, humor, acceptance, patience, all these are love-based emotions. And the journey of master your emotions comes from, how do I switch from a fear-based emotion to a love-based emotion? I stay a lot anxious. I am a lot stressed. I am a lot sad. How do I change, transform it into something positive? Right? Was the 15-minute timer for me? Amazing. I'm here to answer your questions if you have any. And just so you know, if somebody wants to get started on this journey, I have a 6-day free program. Let me know. I think you guys will receive some email or something. I'll share the link with you. So it can be a good start for you.
So I have a small question, Dipanshu. That how can we switch the emotion unless the reality has shifted, changed, or the experience is different? Because if we are feeling a certain thing and that is how things are at the moment, you will end up feeling that particular emotion only. So how is it that you can switch your mental state and look at it in a different way? What is the way to be able to do it?
Sure. So before we go into the how to do it, we need to see why we need to do it. Because you have two questions. Why do we want to change the emotions? If the reality is somebody died in, you know, home, why would you want to feel happy, right? Don't feel happy. You don't have to be happy all the time. That's like not realistic. But you could feel patient or peaceful, you could feel neutral in the worst of the times. Right?
You're trying and to say coping mechanism needs to change.
Could be. Coping mechanism is just, again, an aftermath of what is happening in your world. As you're saying, your emotions are affected by your reality. True, but at the same time, before anything comes into reality, it happens in your brain first. So you are creating your reality. Something terrible happened to you, totally understandable. You feel defeated and depressed, and what you feel is totally on you, not on what others are doing. Then again, yes, needs to be contextual. I don't want to be smiling and laughing at a funeral. Doesn't make sense. But feeling compassion, feeling patience, I think that's the kind of positive emotion that could be there, even in the worst of the situations. Now, due to lack of time, I don't think I have time to talk about how to switch from one to other another emotion. But then again, like I have a article around it, so I can share that.
Actually, we have time. I was just saying that 15 minutes are over, so you have at every 5 minutes. I'm just writing it down. Yeah.
Amazing. So we have time. If there's any other question, let me know. Otherwise, we can cover that topic as well. I don't mind. Sure.
Hi. Okay, thank you. So sometime what happened, there are few people or few incidents which we really hate. Example, I really hate some ex-person, Mr. Sharma. Whenever he came in front of me, I triggered automatically. If he do something, if he doesn't do something, doesn't matter. I irritate because of some past incident happened 5 years, 10 years, maybe before that. Then how I had to reiterate or change my mind, leave it. What do you think about it?
So thank you so much for sharing that question and the details around it. Now I would need to understand the context and details before I answer something specific, but I can give you some idea around the possibilities, what could be there, right? So one possibility is you create boundaries that, you know what, I just don't like when you are present in the meeting, right? If that person is really important, maybe you need to let it go and adjust. If you're not ready to adjust, you need to create a distance, right? Something or the other. But one premise that I only can change myself. I can create boundaries. I can communicate. I can try building that relationship. Any relationship or friendship is a two-way street. It's a two-way street where both of the parties invest 100%, contribute 100%. So if I continue, you know, being there and feeling neutral, but the other person is irritating me again and again and again, and maybe I just need to distance. Or maybe if it's something personal that only I feel and it has nothing to do with him, maybe I need to work on myself. Maybe I need to create that professional boundary. Does that answer your question in some way? I'm glad. So we have one topic left we could be covering, how to switch from one emotion to the other. Before that, if anybody else would want to ask.
I have a question. So like I have always seen that whenever I am like, I have an emotional part of my brain and I have a logical part of my brain, and I see the emotional part winning most of the time. So how do I play this game that my logical part wins most, which thinks that, you know, you should do what is right in the long term?
Amazing. That's amazing. Now, first of all, let me set the flow for you. So there is thoughts, then there is beliefs. Number one is thoughts, beliefs, then emotions, and then actions. Okay. we become slaves of our emotions when we are living on autopilot, when we are not conscious and aware of what we are doing. Our logic can come in the picture when you are aware, when you are conscious. And secondly, maybe sometimes trusting your emotions is the most logical thing to do, right? But that could only happen in a safe space where you have seen your emotions offering you positive results, right? So there are thoughts. We have multiple thoughts in our head every single moment. You must see, if you don't, close your eyes for 5 minutes and you'll see how many thoughts you get, right? When we continue thinking or continue nurturing, watering one thought again and again and again, it becomes a belief. Okay. Our beliefs create the emotions we have around certain things. If you were young, your parents had some money issues, or your parents trusted your uncle and he betrayed your parents, and your mom told you, you are really close to your mom told you that, you know what, money makes people greedy. And you continue repeating that thought again and again in your head. Your belief will become that money makes you greedy. So your emotions around money is, I want to be a good person, I don't want to be greedy. And if I earn a lot of money, I will become greedy. So you're going to self-sabotage yourself. You're going to do everything in your power unconsciously to not earn a lot of money. That's how our actions are impacted. So when we understand this flow, we understand that if we want to change our emotions around certain things, we need to start from the thought level. Okay. And how would you change this thought level thing or emotions, or from one, you know, one emotion to the other emotion, or how would you trust your emotions on logical self, is step one, create some space. Follow this EWT process, emotional wellness triangle. Create some space to first understand who you are. First, understand your biases towards money, towards success, towards yourself. So let's do a little activity. Define, fill in the blanks in the chat box. Money is dash. Money is dash. And don't say money is cash. Like, don't say that. But like, money is dash. Okay. Money is power. Money is good. Money is fuel. Money is required. Another question. Money makes, more money makes people dash. Most important for living. Okay. Necessity. More money makes people lazy. More money makes people greedy. Okay, what else? Egoistic, philanthropist, powerful, careless, classy. You see, nobody is giving same answers. And more money makes people rich. Yeah, like that's the prerequisite I asked you. Don't say something so obvious. So our beliefs around money are because of the experiences we have had around money, or somebody else telling us around money. So I believe there are like 2-3 definitions I use based on context. I believe money is energy. Number two, money is a value indicator, how much value you're creating in life. More money, I believe, makes you more of who you are. If you are already greedy earning 10,000 a month, you're going to be more greedy when you earn 1 lakh a month. If you're already good hearted at 20,000 a month, you're going to be even more good hearted at 2 lakhs a month. Money makes us more of who we are. And I'll be curious to see, to ask you, why did you answer the way you answered? Why do you feel that money makes, more money will make people greedy, or more money will make people classy or rich or motivated? If you're not motivated at 10,000 a month, you'll not be motivated at 1 lakh a month. I'm just whispering the secret. Okay. So understanding who you are, what are your beliefs and where are they coming from? I see that 25 minutes are up, but how do we proceed from here if anybody has any questions?
They could write the question in the chat that you could reply.
I need to see. Sorry.
Yeah, and if you can share your like, how can we reach you in future, that would be great.
Sure. So the easiest way I can tell you right now is Google my name, Dipanshu Rawal. Note down the spellings, or maybe misspell, I don't mind. You'll
maybe
get some.
I could share
Google
your
link.
Number in the group.
Or I'll share my link with you. Okay. Instagram or LinkedIn. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question? I cannot see that in the chat box. I'm really sorry about that.
I just said, if someone is having any question, they could write in the chat box. Oh, and then you could answer.
Sorry about that.
No issue. Completely fine.
And Dipanshu, although we had 20 minutes for your session, so you can still take 2-3 more minutes, of course, to conclude or share the key message for us to take away. So you can still, of course, share your key message with the audience.
Thank you so much, Vivek. I appreciate that. So to summarize, I know we all have a lot of questions coming up, especially when something new information comes in front of us, right? That has happened in the last 25 minutes for a lot of you. The first thing to look inwards and look outwards would be creating some space where we could just sit and see what actually we are doing. What's the reality we are creating? If we are feeling something, it's not somebody else is making you feel that. You are feeling that because you choose to feel that way. You are responsible for your emotions. And then again, we discussed the emotional wellness triangle, something you could be doing daily, something you could be doing on a weekly basis, something you could be doing on a monthly basis. Let emotions work for you. They don't have to be your friends. You want them to be your friends? Great. But let your emotions help you, support you, work for you in your journey of growth, in your journey of enlightenment, in your journey of freedom, liberation. Thank you so much for being here.